You got to stay here and listen to Ike. All right, put up with it, kids. I think you're going to enjoy it. Ike was born in the blooming metropolis of Hamlin, Texas. Who's heard of that besides Ike? One person. All right. He lived in seven different states, 33 towns by the time he graduated from high school. His dad was a seismograph crew foreman, and that type of work where you move every 9 to 12 months. He played tennis for Tyler Junior College and Stephen F. Austin. And in between playing tennis, he actually went to school and went to class and got a bachelor's degree in political science and then a master's degree in education. He coached at Grand Saline High School from 1989 to 93, and then coached tennis and basketball at Lindale High School from 1993 to the present. He also taught government to seniors during those years. He retired 4 years ago, but was hired to coach part-time at Lindale, and he's presently doing that. He also has a tennis court resurfacing business. So I think when I first met him, it was over a 5-gallon bucket of blue paint to paint the handicap spots out here several years ago. So let's see, he's been married for 42 years to Carla. They have two children, Isaac and Rachel. And those children have three boys each. So 6 grandchildren. Their names are, see if you recognize a pattern here. You know me, I named my 6 sons, Jeremy, Justin, Jared, Joshua, Jordan, Jedediah, Joel. Okay, well, their names are Esteban, Emmanuel, and Ezekiel. I assume that's one family. All right. And then Wyatt, Weston, and Warner. All right, so I'm comfortable with that kind of a family where you're just irritating everybody. And no J names, by the way. Well, Ike started going to La Carta in 2017 in Spain, a sports camp ministry. He's returned every year except 2020 because of COVID. So I come on up here and let me, do you want to play a video first or later?
Just a little bit later.
All right. And so let me get it up here. You just hit the little button down there when you're ready. And I'm going to go sit by Ken Piercy up here.
Well, first I just want to say thank you. Just for y'all to carve out some time to listen to us talk about the camp there in Spain and take your service time where Pastor would be breaking the word for you and giving us that opportunity. So I don't take it lightly that being given this time to share. Just so thankful for that. Thankful, too, Pastor, for coming here. And I love there's just prayer over everything. Everything was prayed over today. What a blessing to go to a church that there's prayer over everything. And the young girl's song there, there's nothing more true today than that for America. We need revival. Been part of a church we used to go to in Nacogdoches a long time ago in 1981. It says in the founding papers of the church, the sole purpose of the church was to seek God for renewal for America. And been praying for revival since 1981, so that really ministered to my heart, and it's true. Well, tell you a little bit about La Carta. It's located in the northeast corner of Spain. You're about 30 minutes from the Mediterranean Sea and about 30 minutes from the France border. It's in the very northeast corner in an area called Catalonia. They speak Catalan. There's lots of different dialects of Spanish in Spain. They speak Catalan. And It's about 80% different than Spanish, which you might really hear normally in Spanish. It's not the same as Spanish. The camp itself is located in an area called Camp de Majeur, and it's in the lower parts of the Pyrenees Mountains. It's a beautiful setting, and it's just gorgeous there. It's not far. The closest little town is Banyoles. In 1994, when the Olympics were held in Spain in Barcelona, there wasn't a place near Barcelona to hold the rowing contest part of the Summer Olympics. And so Banyoles held those, and that's right outside of where the camp is located. Each year, the camp starts just a little bit later than what camps might start here in America. Actually, the Spanish kids are... You kids will be glad to know this. They're in their last week of school this coming week. And so that's why camps don't start till the following week. That's why we leave Tuesday. We have our training week this week. And then the next week, the campers will come. So the Spanish kids are in their last week of school this coming week. The camps that are going to be held there this summer, I'm part of Sports Camp 1. It's mountain biking, American flag football, and basketball. I help with the basketball part. And usually, because of the way the camp's set up, there's a bunch of teepees. They're huge teepees. They'll hold about 12 campers each. They limit the camp to about 120, and most of the camps are full. And so I'm helping with the mountain biking, flag football, and basketball. And that's followed by an English camp, where the Spanish adults love for their kids to learn to speak English. So I think it's very important for their kids to learn to speak English. They love that American coaches come. They love that American players come. I've always tried to bring three or four of my players with me, and they are involved with the camp. Parents over there really love for that aspect of the English part of it. They want their kids to learn English. So there's a English camp, and then after the English camp is sports camps too. It's American football. They put the pads on and everything. We used to hold that on the premises there, but they ran into some stumbling blocks with the field that we had. We couldn't keep it wet enough and nice enough that we could play tackle football on it. So they go to a local soccer field. They bus the kids there. And that's one of the needs of the camps, is for some funding for an athletic field. They need some water system, irrigation system, things like that. And then there's the adventure camp. In all these camps, what's really neat, I can't do a good enough job describing how they do it, but in all of these camps, they weave the gospel in slowly but surely over the week. And in a minute, I'll talk more about why they do that. But it's gorgeous how they weave the gospel in as the week goes on. And again, you'll understand more about that in just a second. No matter what camp it is, there's a theme for the camp that always leads to Christ. And it's just really neat how they do it. And then one of their most popular camps, they actually have two of them and they usually have a waiting list, is Native American Indian Camp. They get a Christian Indian to come over and kind of give them the history of Indians and all their, why Indians did what they did, not some of their rituals and things like that. But again, it all leads back to presenting the gospel. The age group for the camp is about 8 to 18. That's some of the facts about the camp. I know that's kind of dry information. I'd like to show you about an 8-minute film that really gets to the heart of why I'm here today. It's done by several of the people that founded this camp. A couple of them in here will mention that in 1979, they walked over this 700 and something acres of land, and they decided, you know, this was where they felt like God was leading them, and the price being over $1.5 million, and then them being turned down, not going to be able to buy it through a long, long process. That was 1979. They walked over the land and claimed and prayed over the land, and in 1990, they were able to buy the land for half the price. And so God had his ways of making them wait for certain things, and it turned out to be a blessing. Anyway, let me get this going.
Europe's playground. People love coming to Spain. Spanish people are basically wonderful people. but they're wonderful people who are empty inside, who don't know Jesus. There are people that in a lot of areas of the country are hopeless because there's no one to tell them about Jesus. There's thousands of cities that don't have one believer in them, let alone a church.
There's just no chance for people to hear about the Lord over here.
People don't want to know anything to do about God, don't want to have anything to do with Jesus, with churches.
La Arcada is very important for Spain because people will not go to a church. If you invite them, they will not show up. But camp feels for them a neutral place, and then it's a lot easier to share love and the gospel with people.
Our goal here at La Arcada is to win people to Jesus, disciple them, and train them to be leaders in their home and their local church.
Currently, we have several evangelistic programs during the summer, and also we have a discipleship and leadership program during the year to develop the next generation leaders.
In sports camps, we focus on American sports, and we do those camps in English. So we have double benefit, learning the sport and learning English at the same time. English camp, of course, is all taught in English, and for both camps, sports and English, we rely on American people who want to help us to teach sports and English at the same time. Parents love that because they want the kids to improve their English a lot. Native American camp is focused on creation, on nature, and we share the gospel through this camp. Adventure camp is focused on teenagers, and we mix believers and non-believers to share the gospel through adventure.
Here in Spain, La Arcada is known as the foundation in favor of the family. Families are important. It's the basis of society. Here in La Arcada, we have a family camp. And in family camps, we do all sorts of things. The parents have sessions for themselves on how to relate to each other, on how to follow Jesus Christ better, how to raise godly children. Children have their own classes learning about Jesus Christ. We do all kinds of amazing things here at family camp. Fun things, more serious things, but the goal of everything we do is to strengthen the family.
In all of our camps, we have believers and non-believers, and when they are here, we give to them the love of Christ and we share with them the gospel. Some of them will receive Christ here. Some of them, they will receive a seed that we hope it will grow year after year.
For those who became Christians, we want to continue to invest in them. For that reason, we developed this discipleship program. Discipleship program is a 4 years, designed for those who became to the Lord in the camp, but not only for them, but also for the people in the church. They can start the program at 13 years old, and we help them to grow and mature in the Lord. When they finish the program, they are ready to take a leadership position in their local churches.
I never get tired of seeing the reaction of kids when they are loved by the love of Christ from the staff for the very first time. To see their faces, their smiles, the release being loved that way, it's amazing. It amazes me.
But what's even more exciting to me is to see these young people continue on into our discipleship programs and grow in Christ, and then move on into the local church and become part of an effective ministry reaching out for the Lord.
Empecé a venir con 10 años como campista en Indios. Y vine 2 años de campista en Indias y después Aventura, donde me convertí en esta semana. Y entonces me invitaron a venir a Cantera el año siguiente a servir y el año que viene seré equipo.
Creo que La Arcada ofrece un lugar, ¿no?, para poder compartir todas estas cosas, ¿no?, y poder sembrar una semilla que a largo plazo pues puede dar, la verdad es que grandes resultados, ¿no? Y creo que por eso es importante La Arcada para España.
I've been in love with this ministry since I was a kid. It's been a place where I've grown up so much in my faith. in my gifts, in my relationship with Jesus. And I see lives change, not only in the kids, but also in the staff that comes here and serves every summer.
My parents were not Christians, and so I couldn't wait to go to camp in the summer. And I could relate to the young people here right away. And on Saturday morning, when they were leaving and they were crying, this is what happened to me as a young person. But in Spain, it's so much darker. They go back to schools that there are no other Christians, and homes that are not Christian homes, of course, and they don't have any Christian friends. At least I had a church to go home to, where these kids don't have that at all.
In North America, if you're searching for Christ, you can find it. There are churches everywhere. There are ministries around every corner. There are youth ministries just on top of each other. Here, we lack that. And there is so few ministries, so few churches. And so Larcada is like a beacon on a hill in the midst of a lot of darkness.
Our current facilities are designed for summer camps. This hinders us from accomplishing our mission and vision the rest of the year. This makes the second phase crucial to continue advancing our mission and vision. The second phase includes cabins, winterized buildings, other facilities that will allow us to do year-round camping and also be an important resource for the local church here in Spain. God's desire is that everyone come to Him and be saved. And for that reason, He asks us to preach the gospel everywhere, that all nations, all people, everywhere in the world, they hear the gospel, and especially in those places that they don't look for Him, that they don't ask for Him, that they don't seek in Him, then they don't want to hear anything about Him. And Spain is one of these places. We do this here in Spain, and we ask that you pray and come here to help us to reach this country, to reach Spain for the glory of God.
Every time I watch that, I feel kind of like a kid in a candy store. It's like, where do I start? Number one, that was kind of a little bit about the history of Larcada. Dave Frank was one of the men on there, and then Jordy Villahor was on there. They were the two men that walked across the place in 1979 and prayed over it and struggled over about 10 or 12 years and finally came to purchase the land, like I said, at about half the cost. And it's a little over 30 years old, and you know, I mentioned earlier, why do we, as the kids come to camp, why don't we just from day one really jump in there and get into the gospel? And so you have to understand the Spanish culture, and the Spanish culture goes a long way back. Okay, there's a lot of things that have affected the Spanish people over centuries, and it's just kind of part of their culture. One is the Moors came through, the Islams came through in the 700s, and they kind of put a knife to their throats, the Spanish people, and said, you'll be Islam or we'll kill you. And so, you know, there's some religious oppression right there. And that lasted for about 400 years. And actually in the year 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, that very year, Ferdinand and Isabella defeated the Moors, and that was the very year that Spain was freed from them. But now it was back to more religious oppression, because you're going to practice Catholicism or we're going to kill you. I mean, basically was what was happening. And then just a few hundred years later, you get into the Spanish Inquisition. And their first goals, as they got rid of the Moors, then they wanted to get rid of the Jews, and then they wanted to get rid of the Protestants. Y'all mentioned the Reformation today. You know, as the Reformation started spreading around the world and the Protestants, the Catholic stronghold and Isabella and Ferdinand, the government having power over the church was so oppressive to the people. And the Inquisitions were horrible. They would, if you didn't decide to serve in the way that they wanted you to. They might take your property, they might take your children, and they might take your life. One particular man that was in charge of getting rid of Jews, he burned over 2,000 Jews at the stake. And so there's this political oppression going on, religious oppression that's just gone through the country. And the Inquisition lasted into the early 1800s. And then just about 100 years later, Franco comes to power in Spain in about 1939. And then 39 through 1975, Franco ruled over Spain and he made Catholicism the national religion. So you were either going to be a Catholic or you weren't. It wasn't going to go well for you. And so that history of oppression is just really what, you know, when people come to camp, if you get a Bible out and start reading verse stuff, they're going to call mom and dad and say, these people are crazy, I'm ready to come home. And I'm serious about that. They just see religion as an oppressive thing because of their culture. And also you've got to remember, too, Spain is in a liberal part of the world. Europe is so liberal. And so the liberality of and the lack of morality, along with this oppressiveness that religion is in their hearts and in their eyes over the years has been, these kids, they don't come to camp necessarily to learn about the gospel. The parents like it because we speak English. They like the sports camps, the sports training they get, the different types of camps. Different kids like different types of camps. The adventure camps are more like a drama club. You know, there's all sorts of ways that the different kids can fit in. But again, you've got that historical religious suppression in the back of everybody's mind there. And so they don't like religion from the get-go. And so in training week every year, they go over with us, you know, kind of what they expect us to do, how to handle the week. And the first part of the week, we go every extra second mile we can find for the kids. And we just do the best we can to show them love. Every morning when the kids wake up at camp, they come on a Sunday afternoon. When they wake up on Monday morning, and at 8 a.m., there's a guy that says, well, gets on a loudspeaker, and it just rings through the valley there, you know, what was the old good morning Vietnam guy? Well, there's a guy that does his imitation of that, and it's good morning Larkada, and it's loud, and it goes through the valley, and then he plays a bunch of really sweet songs. But it's time to come to breakfast, and after breakfast, those kids go to what's called teepee time. And the early part of the week, that might be just some introductions amongst the people in their teepee and get to know each other a little bit and maybe just a touch about creation. But as the week goes along, it's in those teepee times. The counselor that's assigned to those teepees, they are with those kids 24/7. They're the ones that need prayer. I mean, can you imagine having about 10 or 12 12-year-olds and, you know, And you go to lunch with them, you go to breakfast with them, you go to dinner with them. When it's time for them to go to the pool, you're with them. When it's time for them to go to their sports, you go with them. I mean, you are nonstop, and you're just with those kids all day long. But, you know, they're the ones, those counselors are the ones also, excuse me, they've got the tougher job, but also they get the blessing of, they're the ones during that week that get that teepee time with the kids. And as the week goes along, they get to share a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And in the evenings, some of the coaches will talk about the subject that's going to be introduced the next day in the next teepee time and give maybe a little bit about it. And then a little bit later in the week, some of the coaches even give their testimony about how Christ has changed their lives. And so by maybe Wednesday, the kids are comfortable in camp, and they don't feel threatened by what we're sharing. And by the end of the week, it's awesome. And on Friday night, we have a big celebration. Everybody wears their favorite college jersey, pro jersey, whatever. We have a nice little barbecue chicken and French fries. And for the first time all week, we give the kids something other than water. We give them Coke and Dr. Pepper and things. And so it's a big celebration on Friday night. And then we go over to the Carpa. That's this big building where we have a velada every night. That's a party that we do, and we do line dances with them. We do skits with them. We do all sorts of things with them. And it's on Friday night, somebody that Dave Bench, you saw him in there, feels like, you know, he'll ask somebody is during the course of the week, on Friday night, will you present the gospel? And so on Friday night, it's the full-blown gospel. And by then, those kids aren't threatened at all by who we are, what we're there for. And what's really neat is some of the American campers have gone. I took a couple of football players from John Tyler a few years ago with me. And just one of them, just the biggest guy in the world, you know. I think if he wanted me to be a Christian, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But he just excuse me. By the end of the week, every time the football part of the camp was done for the day, you'd look over there at the football field, and he had all those Spanish campers in a circle, arms around arms, big circle, and they were praying. And, you know, there are just certain kids God raises up over these years I've seen that have come with us, that they connect with these kids, the kids fall in love with them, and those kids, God's just put a certain way in them that these kids are open to the gospel. And it's just beautiful. Last summer, there were a couple of girls, and by midweek, the campers were begging them. This is very, very, very unusual for Spain. By midweek, some of these Spanish campers were begging for a Bible study. It's 7:15 in the morning before the guy got on the loudspeaker and said, "Good morning, Larcada." 45 minutes earlier, they wanted a Bible study. Unheard of in Spain. Last year we had 61 kids out of the 80 campers in our camp say they wanted to take a Bible home. And normally, most years, that's 3, 4, 5 might want a Bible. And most years over the course of the summer, it might be 2 or 3 kids at each camp that truly say, "I want Jesus Christ as my Savior." And last summer, the Lord just kind of opened the floodgates, you know, in His timing and His will and His way, and may not be that way this summer, but there was around 15 kids in our camp and almost the same amount in each camp afterwards that said they wanted Christ as their Savior. And every camp had about 2/3 of the camp say, "I want a Bible to take home." And you can't help but wonder, did COVID play a part of that? Did, you know, we've seen how depression has risen in the world. You know, enemy meant it for evil, God used it for good. These kids, something was missing, and God provided it there in the camp through some of these just really neat kids that go over. There's a group called the 10-2 Kids. It's Jim, great European missionaries, who is, this camp is under the umbrella of Jim. They're called the 10-2 Kids, and they come and they've started a couple weeks ago, and they'll be there all summer long. And there's usually 5 that come to our camp, but they're spread out all over Europe, and they just give their whole summer up to serve. And they do serve. It's amazing to see their hearts. And so these Spanish kids see these people coming and serving, and their hearts throughout the week are changed somewhat. And you know what? It's not just the campers that are changed. There's also, it affects us. My first year I went, I watched some of the Spanish youth that have come up through their discipleship program. And that's what I love about this camp. This camp isn't about this camp. This camp is about the church in Spain. This camp is about raising up Christians to go serve in their local church. And if they come back and help in the camp, that's great too. But their goal is that they would be raised up in the Word, and that they would be the kind of Christians that would go back and serve in their church. Group about 3 or 4 young kids, and I just saw how they just poured their heart. These are long days. I mean, you hear the guy at 8 o'clock in the morning, but some of these kids, I know they got up early and had a devotional time, and they got up early and they served all day long, and we usually don't get done till midnight. The last thing we do ends at midnight, and then we show them a film. We have a videography team multimedia team that all day long films things, give kids Go cameras and all this. At the end of the day, about a 7 or 8 minute film of what happened that day. And that's at midnight. And so it's time to go to bed. And you are worn out. But these kids, by the end of the week, they had just won my heart. That's why I go back. I just saw how much it meant to them. They grew up in this camp, and I just saw what it meant to them, and it just inspired me to want to go back. I was painting my walls when I got the first call to come help with Lakota by an old friend of mine, and I hadn't retired yet. And I said, well, I can't this year. I got too much going on. And then I retired over the course of the next year. So the friend calls back, said, well, last year your excuse was you were too busy. Now you're retired. I said, well, you're right, so I'm coming. And I have not looked back. It's been such a blessing in my life. Talking about how it affected more than just the campers, during the training week, we might see our name on a board at some point in time during the week, and that means we're going to give our testimony that day. And some of these kids that came up through the discipleship program that were from Spain, and they gave their testimony about, you know, they come to Camp Larcada, they become a Christian, and they go back to their school, and in their whole school, these aren't not just in their classroom, not just in their grade, but in their whole school, they're the only Christian. And like we said, there's a lot of dead religious Catholicism. You know, the people in Spain love the religious holidays, but they're really just celebrations that are more secular. They're secular celebrations in the name of religious holidays. And so these kids, lost my train of thought on that. I agree. Well, the testimonies, that's, you know, they were giving their testimonies about, they go back to their school and they would be the only kid in their school that was a Christian, and how hard that was. And a lot of them gave these testimonies with tears rolling down their eyes. And they go home, and mom and dad weren't Christians either. And so the kids that come to Larcada, that grow up in Larcada, so to speak, or maybe come, you know, it is very important ministry. It's not the only ministry in Spain, but it's an important one in Spain. Kids are truly born again there. It's not just a come and do a checklist or something. Kids come to life there, and they live for Christ the rest of their lives. Some of these kids that come through the discipleship program are now going to be some of the new leaders in the camp. And the sports camp director is going to, Dave and Cindy Bentz, he's going to retire soon. One of the Spanish campers that came up through the discipleship program and has served regularly every summer is probably going to be the new sports camp director. And so just their lives are affected. Their lives are made brand new. That's why they're affected. And they come back and pour themselves into the camp. The gym missionaries that are there, there's not a bunch there in the camp, but the gym missionaries, I was really convicted my first few years going. They give up time with grandkids, with family. They are missionaries. They get to come home a couple of months a year, but the rest of the time, they're long way away from family. And there were no pity parties from them about that. And just to see their enthusiasm and their love for the camp. And I think it's because they believe the Lord's doing something there. And it gives them that strength to go on. And it also affects, like I said, not just the campers, but those that come. There was one young man one year. We called him England. He was from England. He's lived in Illinois, and his parents had left England to go to Illinois to start a church or something. But England was full of bitterness, completely full of bitterness. And he was one of the helpers one year, just full of bitterness. I had to break up a fight with him and a couple of the kids two or three times that week in camp. And it was always England. But Dave Bentz, the sports camp director, we just prayed and we just said, you know, let's keep him around. Let's just keep a hand on him, keep a thumb on him, and let's keep him here. Because we had talked about sending him back home. And a year later, he comes back to camp, and he's apologizing to everybody for how bitter he was. He said the love that he was shown by the Spanish people as well as the Americans that were there changed his life forever. A year later, he repented of his bitterness, everything. So God doesn't just work on the campers. It's us that are going over there get affected too. He works on both sides of that. I would say, you know, like I said, the film kind of shares the heart of the message. You know, it's they want the kids to grow up in Christ and be part of the body of Christ. In the camp today, they've got some needs. And I know Pastor already gave me a check. And by the way, I'm fully funded. I don't need any money for going this summer. But there are some other needs that the camp has. And I would just mention those to you and just ask you to pray about those. One of those is just in the last few days, they had a really bad flood. And they're in the mountains. And so they had a lot of damage done to the camp. They had really gotten the camp in working order. We had about 3 work crews from Texas and Alabama go over in April and May and get the camp ready, get a lot of the inspections up to snuff, and then the flood came. And so there was a lot of damage. So there's just need for the general funds for some things to be replaced and repaired that they really need. More staff for the maintenance is needed. Rafa Villahor is the guy that does the, he's over the maintenance, and he does an awesome job. And Rafa, if you ever see Rafa, you just feel like the Spirit of God's resting on him. He's always happy. He's always cheerful. He's always kind. He's a huge giant. He's a huge guy. But he's always just seems like Christ is just living in his heart. But he's one, and it's a 700-acre facility, and there's lots of things to do. So just more staff, money for staff for that. They purchased some solar panels, and they need help finishing paying for those. The camp runs on a couple of sources of electricity, but it gets overloaded, and with all the different things that can go on during the day. And so they've been instructed to get some solar panels so that they can help with electricity needs. So that's a big need there, because there's times during the day when we're needing electricity for different things. We may be playing some games with the kids and have music going, and the cooks are trying to cook, and boom, there goes electricity because it's overloaded. And then the other one I mentioned, about 2 years ago, Anna and Juan Antonio, they had really nice paying secular jobs, really, really nice jobs. Really tough jobs, but they got paid well. They felt like the Lord was telling them to get out of their jobs and come serve in Larkada. They had volunteered in Larkada here and there over the years, but they felt like they were supposed to come serve full time because the camp director position was open. And it's a gym missionary position. You do it by faith. You step into it, and you're hoping that you're funded by donations. And over the past year, they've gone from 0%, and then they're up to about 81% of their support that's needed. So there would be a big need there for them as they continue on in that. So those are some urgent needs that they have. But anyway, Pastor Tim, thank you for allowing me to come. And I know sometimes these talks can be a little dry, but I hope the heart of it is you realize it's the Church of Spain that is the concern, which is really the Church of God, no matter where it's at. And Spain is a dark country, less than 1% evangelical, and I call it the dark corner of Europe. Europe is dark anyway, but Spain is a dark corner of Europe. And you can drive to town after town after town over there, and you don't see a church. You see the old Catholic churches, and they're empty. And a lot of them, they may charge you if you want a tour to go through them. But there's not a lot of hunger for Christ there. So anyway, prayers, I've noticed the praying church, prayers would be good too. So anyway, I just thank you for your time.
Will you stay right here and let's pray. Now, we've given him a $1,000 check. You have given to GEM. And if you want to contribute to this, I've asked Ike to stay up here at the front at the end of the service. Just hand him a check or hand him cash, and he'll see that it gets to GEM. I'm glad he's independently wealthy. Is that what you said?
I didn't say that.
Oh, you didn't say that.
You said that.
Oh, all right. Let's pray for him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ike. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for protecting him as he goes. I don't know who all's going with him this trip, but Father, we pray that you would give them safe travel, that you would give them a wonderful, wonderful ministry while they're there, and bring them back safely rejoicing. Father, we pray that the fruit that is born in the lives of these teenagers, these young people, would be profound and would affect generations to come in the nation of Spain. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.